Well, 22 years ago, Brandy, my wife, and I moved to this beautiful city of Vancouver. And we moved here to go to grad school. But we came in the middle of summer, weeks before classes started. And so for at least a month, we just got to explore. And everything was new and exciting. We were like tourists in our new home. It was a great time. But after a few weeks, we realized that we didn't really know anyone here. And we had these moments of just missing some of our friends and family. That feeling of just being with people who know you and you can laugh together and there's a common history and you don't have to start every conversation with introductions and small talk. That's necessary, of course, when you're first starting out, but we miss that. And we'd been attending this large church where we felt anonymous and invisible. Again, that was okay at the beginning. We probably even liked that, but that started to grow kind of weary and grow thin. And one day at a service just like this, we were sitting there, and the service ended, and a couple came up to us. And they introduced themselves, Doug and Barb. And they said, "We noticed that you've been sitting in roughly the same section the last couple Sundays, and we just wanted to say hello." And they were really warm, and they seemed genuinely interested in our lives and our story and what had brought us to Vancouver and how we found our way to the church. And then at the end of that, they said, "We'd like to invite you to our home for dinner one night this week." It seemed a little forward to me, but they also seemed so warm and genuine. Later that week, we found ourselves driving to their modest home in Burnaby. Now, 22 years later, I cannot tell you what we had for dinner. I don't know if it was a Gordon Ramsay-inspired recipe. I can't tell you a thing about their home decor, whether it was part of the Martha Stewart collection or not. I doubt it. But here's what I remember, is they opened their home, but they also opened their hearts to us. That there was such a warmth about them. They genuinely were interested in us and our story. And they were also open about their own lives. At one point, they took us into this, what appeared to be a teenage boy's bedroom. And there were trophies and sports posters on the walls. And I remember thinking, "I don't remember you saying anything about a teenage son." And they said, "Well, several years ago, we lost our son in a car accident. He was 17. And they said, we still come in here often and think about him." And the conversation went on. And at the end of that evening, I remember just thinking, we walked in as strangers, and yet they treated us with such warmth, with such openness of heart. It was like we were family. We are away from home, and they welcomed us into their home in such a way that we could feel at home with them. Hospitality is one of the greatest gifts that we can receive. It's one of the greatest gifts that we can offer. And Jesus not only modeled it, but he also spoke about hospitality. And our text this morning is three simple verses from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. Hear these words. "Then Jesus said to his host, 'When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" Pray with me. Living God, we turn to your word again today. And every once in a while, I remark on how each Sunday in 2019 in Vancouver, we read from a document, from a living document that's 2,000 years old. And yet we believe that these words are life-giving. They lead us to life. They lead us to a life of flourishing. They help us to see, open our eyes so that we see things and we see others as you see them. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're in the middle of a series called Practicing the Economy of Jesus. And maybe when you hear the word economy, you think of the wealth or the resources of a nation and how those are distributed. And we're looking at, in a similar way, how did Jesus use his resources? How did he, for example, spend his time? Who did he spend his time with? How did he use those social resources? And what does that say to us as his followers about living in this different kind of economy, the economy of Jesus? And this morning, we want to talk about hospitality. And I want to just ask three questions. First, I'm going to spend a little more time on this first one. What are we talking about? What is hospitality? Is just having friends and family over for a cozy evening? Or does Jesus redefine it in some way for us? Second, why do it? Why be hospitable? Is this just about being a good and nice person, and it's good to be good and it's nice to be nice, so be good and nice? Or is there something really fundamental and inherent to the story of Scripture and to our identity that fuels this drive to be hospitable? And finally, how do we do it? You may be living in a dorm room or a micro suite or a basement suite and say, that sounds good, but I just don't know what that would look like for me. So first, what are we talking about when we talk about hospitality? Well, we think it's about inviting family and friends over for a cozy evening, and then we hear these words. When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. Now, for some of you, this is like really good news. You are like so happy at these words of Jesus right now. You want to just conclude in prayer. You've got your one takeaway from the sermon. You want to text your family members and say, I know I invited you for dinner, but see Luke 14:12. I'm just trying to follow Jesus, Dad. Now, before you send that text, what you should know is this is a figure of speech, a Semitic idiom. Jesus, of course, is not saying, he's not diminishing inviting family and friends over, but he's saying it has to be more than that. In the economy of the world, you invite those you're comfortable with, those who can repay you. And in my economy, things are different. In my economy, you invite people who cannot repay you, people who are overlooked, people who are invisible. In my economy, Jesus is saying, it's like when you're at a party and somebody's standing by themselves in the corner, and you look at them and you think, we probably have nothing in common. They in no way seem attractive to you. You're not drawn to them in any way, shape, or form. And Jesus says, in my economy with my followers, you see those people. A couple things that we know about hospitality from the ancient world. One is positive and one is negative. The first, the positive one, is that hospitality was a high value. Traveling in the ancient world was very challenging and grueling. It was mostly done by foot, and when you would enter into a village for the evening, there was no Holiday Inn with a free breakfast. There was no Ramada, no Days Inn, and so you relied as a traveler on the hospitality of strangers. And here's what we know, is that hospitality then and now was about three things. It was about an open home. So you would go to the gates of the city and you would welcome people into your home. Now these people, they did not have large homes, they were not wealthy, but they opened their homes to strangers. Now your home is a place of warmth. Physically, yes, but also relationally. Your home is a place where you go to rest and to refresh. And hospitality was saying, I'm willing to share the very things in which are life-giving to me, where I can rest and refresh and replenish. I'm willing to share that with you, weary traveler. The second thing was hospitality was about open hands, meaning a sharing of resources. That you would often, as a host, put on a feast. There is a cost to being hospitable. Absolutely there is. It may not be as much as we think, but there is a cost to it. A host would also wash someone's feet and really share any resources they had with the other. And finally, hospitality was about an open heart. About opening your home and your hands, but doing it in such a way that conveyed, you're not a stranger, you're a friend. In fact, you're like family. I don't know that we can improve on that ancient definition of hospitality. Open home, open hands, open heart. You know, just about any place can be the right place to be, to treat strangers as family members. It could be the playground. It could be a trail, a walking trail. It could be your dorm room. It could be a staff lunchroom. It could be this place right here. There's a lot of people here. You don't know them all. Some of them are strangers. There's a way to open. It could be a favorite coffee shop that is a place of refreshment for you, and you invite others into that. Now, the second thing we know about hospitality in the ancient world is negative, and it comes from this passage. See, Jesus is at a party, and it appears that the hosts have been very strategic about who they've invited. They have invited people who would repay them, and that would increase their social standing in the community. I'm told that business transactions happened at some of these Greco-Roman parties, that if you were a shop owner, you would invite some customers, prospective customers, you'd invite suppliers, and you would invite people who could open new doors for you. It's an investment, it's an advantage to invite these people because it's good for business. And here's what Jesus is saying, friends, is that's how the economy of the world works, but my economy is different. I want you to include people who will not open any doors for you. These are the people that are overlooked in the business of life. They are invisible. They are ignored. They are anonymous. That's who I want your eyes to be open to. They're too poor to invite you back. They're not going to help you professionally. And Jesus is saying, I want you to let go of any expectations that you have of that guest. But just open your heart and your hands and see what happens. Now, I doubt that many of you have a dinner party and are so calculating with who you invite. But sociologists do tell us that we're attracted and we're drawn to people who are just like us. People who are the same ethnicity. People who have the same worldview, the same values, the same sexual orientation, the same socioeconomic level. The people who vote like we do, we're drawn to them. We just came through a pretty divisive election. We're drawn to people just like us. Dr. Daniel Siegel is a psychiatry professor at UCLA, did this fascinating study where he hooked up all of these brain scans to a participant to look at the areas of compassion and what kind of lit those areas up in our brain. And then he showed a picture. So if I was hooked up, he'd show me a picture of somebody I don't know who looks different. And my compassion sensors, according to Daniel Siegel, were all cold. There was nothing showing. No connection with this person whatsoever. But then he would add a little description at the bottom. Maybe it's like this person loves jazz music, or he likes this kind of food, or he went to my high school, or he cheers for the same sports teams that I do. Something that connected us, and guess what happened? Those compassion sensors started firing. And Siegel concludes that the human being is always making judgments, and it goes back to like primal days, basically caveman days. And we look at somebody and we say, are you from my cave or not? And if you're from my cave, if you're like me in some way, Then I open my heart and my resources to you. I will defend you. I'm your friend. But if we look at somebody and in that snap second judgment, we decide you're not from my cave, then we decide we have nothing to do with them and we have no interest in them. And here's what Jesus is saying is, followers of mine, they're hospitable to people who are outside their cave. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. You know, the word that's used there is the word philoxenia, which means love of the stranger. It sounds familiar to another word that's used in the media today, and that's the word xenophobia. Philoxenia means love for the stranger. What does xenophobia mean? Fear of the stranger. Fear of those who are different. Friends, sadly, the church, Christians, are critiqued, sometimes rightly critiqued. People, all we know about them is who they're against. All we know about them is what they don't stand for. And friends, in a world of xenophobia, Jesus says, what if you were known not for xenophobia, but for philoxenia, for the love of those who are different, the love of strangers? That's what it looks like to live in the economy of Jesus. I know that first point was long, but be hospitable to the preacher today. I will promise I will go through the second couple. I'm in your cave, people. I'm in your cave. Why? Why do we do this? Is this just a good thing to do? Friends, what I've discovered, this is not a new discovery, is that the whole Bible is a story of hospitality. From beginning to end, this is a story of God's hospitality to us. And guess who the weary traveler is? Guess who the vulnerable traveler is? It's you and it's me. We are the stranger. And God has opened his hands and his heart and his home to us. When we read the Old Testament, we read stories of Adam and Eve. You need to remember that in many ways, this is reflecting our story. This is like a mirror of our identity. The story of Adam and Eve is our story. And what's their story? They were at home in the garden. They were at home with God, a place of spiritual warmth, of relational warmth. It was such a sweet place of rest and refreshment. And guess what we did? Is we thought we could do better. And we were exiled from the garden. And ever since then, the story tells us, we've been looking for a place to call home. We're the weary traveler. And who do we encounter? Jesus Christ, who leaves his home and befriends us. There's this great movie called Grand Canyon. It's a kind of an older movie, but it tells the story of this wealthy immigration lawyer played by Kevin Kline. And his name is Mac, and he's at a basketball game one night, and he experiences like a traffic jam, and so he decides to take a shortcut. But his shortcut goes through one of the most dangerous downtown sections of Los Angeles. As he's driving through with his luxury car, his car breaks down. He's in a vulnerable space. And a gang surrounds him, pulls him out of his car at gunpoint. And Mac truly believes this is the end of his life. And in the nick of time, a stranger pulls up. It is Danny Glover. His name's Simon, tow truck driver. And he comes in and he diffuses the situation and he hooks up Mac's car and gets him to a place of safety. And the rest of the movie is about Mac realizing that Simon has saved his life. And though these two gentlemen are from completely different caves, they are now linked by this act of hospitality. And a friendship, an unlikely friendship ensues. Friends, this is the story of the gospel of Jesus, is we are vulnerable. We have experienced breakdown and someone comes to our rescue. It is Jesus. And friends, when when you can begin to remember that story, it does something in you. It changes you. I was the stranger broken down on the side of the road, and Jesus found me. And when Jesus came to earth, who did he spend his time with? He spent time with the people who were broken and lonely, and their lives were a mess. And he treated strangers as if they were family members. And he went to parties with extortionists and money launderers and sex trade workers, and he treated them not as strangers, but as family. And one day on the cross, he opened his hands as if to signify, my arms are wide open towards you, strangers, that you might find a home with God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to how Paul puts it in Ephesians 2. Don't forget that you used to be outsiders. You were excluded, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are members of God's family. God saw you as a stranger, and he made you a family member. And now, in response, we get to do the same to others. I like what one person said. He said, what God does for you, he wants to do through you. Carlos Castro is a member of our 10th community. He attends our Mount Pleasant location, and he volunteers at the Oasis Cafe. And if you're unfamiliar with Oasis, it is a community meal where people can walk in who are looking for friendship, looking for a hot meal. Some of them are in really vulnerable places when they come in and experience community. And Carlos is a volunteer there. And I said, why do you do this? And he said, when I'm at an Oasis meal, having a bowl of soup with somebody, and I look across the table at a man who's just coming off the streets, said, Jade, that's me. I'm looking at myself. He said, 9 years ago, I was on the streets. I was addicted to cocaine. I had a horrible, painful divorce, and I tried to medicate it with cocaine, and it cost me everything. I lost my house because of my cocaine addiction. I used to sleep under the shelter at David Thompson High School in East Vancouver. I used to sleep under the shelter because it was some little semblance of having a normal life. My kids were students at David Thompson, and they'd open the doors at 6 a.m. and I could go in and use the bathroom. I bounced around, he said, from shelter to shelter. I had this really hard, angry exterior. But at one of the meals, I think it was at UGM, he said, I met a guy named Jonathan. And Jonathan invited me to his home. It was like a community home in the downtown east side called Servants. Some of you have heard of this community. And I met some people like Craig and Kevin at this place. And they just had meals, and they just accepted me for who I was. And they were genuinely interested in who I was. And I began to see that after these meals and the warmth that they extended to me, that some of these layers of anger started to fall, and I found myself weeping and open about my life story. And he said that they treated me as if their arms were wide open to me. And in time, I began to see that there was a God whose arms were wide open to me too. And Carlos gave his life to Christ, began a long healing journey away from addiction. And every Monday evening, he's at Oasis. He's experienced hospitality in a radical way. And now he wants to extend that to others. Friends, how do we do this? Let me just end with a few practical thoughts about what this might look like. How do we show hospitality in the city of Vancouver? It seems to me we have to face some of our fears. Here's a fear around hospitality. My place is not adequate. My place is too small. Friends, again, When we talk about hospitality, it can be outside your home. It could be a coffee shop or a park or the workout gym you go to or running with a friend. It could be a lot of these different places. But let me just go back to our homes for a second here. I've heard people say it's so small and, you know, I have a dog and there's dog hair all over my couch and it's not the right place. Can I just be dramatic here for a moment, just to step back? What's more likely? That somebody dies of a little dog hair on their pants or of chronic loneliness and isolation? I told you it was going to be dramatic, I know. Friends, we're living in a city where people are chronically isolated and lonely. And researchers have told us how dangerous that is to their health. Imagine you went to a hospital. I was thinking about a hospital this week because it comes from the same root word as hospitality, a place of welcome, a place of hospitality. Imagine you went to a hospital with a broken arm. Somebody stopped you at the front door and said, actually, we're unfortunately, you can't come in. And you say, why? And they say, well, we forgot to water the plants in the entrance and they've all died and they look terrible. And we've been meaning to repaint, and we just haven't got around to it. And it's kind of an ugly old color, and it's chipped up a little bit. And besides, the food in here is terrible. We're really sorry, but the hospital is closed. You would say you're missing the point. And friends, isn't it true that sometimes we miss the point? We have a dozen excuses why we can't use our home, and sometimes we miss the point of seeing in small, simple ways how we can open our home to others. Maybe you'd say, well, I can't cook. And maybe you can't. And here's my response to you is, I want you to look up at this table here and remember a meal that Jesus hosted with his friends. And what did Jesus serve? Two very simple, common, ordinary elements. Now, these elements have incredible meaning for us now, infused by Jesus. But in that day, these were ordinary things, two ordinary things. Let that be your guide. Can you serve two common, ordinary things? What would two ordinary things be? Peanut butter and jelly. Chips and dip. Mac and cheese. Tea and cookies. Let that be your guide. But I want it to be special. Friends, it's not the food that makes it special. It's the people that makes it special. It's the atmosphere. It's the posture that you have toward one another that makes it special. Friends, I said before that this might be the very place where we can start with hospitality, is after the service, looking right around you. There are some strangers here that you don't know. Someone came to me and said, should I be on the greeting team? And I said, no, you already are the greeting team. We have a chance every week, every Sunday, to open our hearts to others. That it's common that somebody comes up to me and I say, you've been attending here and tell me your story. And they say, well, we came a few months ago, a year ago, whatever. And, you know, they kind of say it in this way. You know, I just want you to know, you and Alvin were really friendly. But they're, in their mind, I'm putting words in their mouth, but they kind of are saying, but you're supposed to be friendly. You're the pastor. We expected that from you. You don't get any credit for that. But after the service, two people who we did not know were going across to the bakery and they said, would you like to join us for lunch? And two or three weeks later, somebody invited us to their home and they said, that's weird. That doesn't happen in Vancouver. And they were so struck with the warmth that they experienced that it was the way into community. We have an opportunity to do that. One other fear that we have, when we befriend and welcome and show hospitality to strangers, is that it will be awkward. What are we supposed to talk about? Friends, I think that's a legitimate fear. That's a fear that I have too. It might be awkward. It very well could be awkward. Sometimes I think of Jesus at these parties, and there are tax collectors and thieves and sex trade workers. And Jesus is at the party and I go, what in the world did they talk about? I would love to be a fly on the wall. I'm speculating here, but I think that may very well have been awkward. But here's what happened at the end of it, is that people felt seen by Jesus. They felt heard. They felt that they were treated like family, not like strangers. They were in a different cave than Jesus, and yet they realized of how his warmth towards them, and that overcame that barrier. Let me conclude with a brief story of a woman named Rosaria Butterfield. She was a tenured professor at Syracuse University. And Rosaria was pretty convinced that the problem with the world was Christians. The problem with the world was the church. They were the source of too much evil. And as a professor, she decided to write a scholarly paper of some of her findings. She thought, I should probably be fair. I should ask a pastor to respond to some of these critiques. And she knew of a pastor of a church in somewhere in her neighborhood. So she contacted him. And he said, well, I don't know when we could meet, but we are having a couple people over for dinner on Wednesday. Would you like to come? It's at 6 o'clock. And she thought, well, this is my chance. I would take it. She went with paper and notepad ready for her questions. And she said, I got there and what I experienced was remarkable, that these were people in very different caves. They weren't religious people, but the warmth, the conversation, the genuine interest in other people's lives was remarkable. It was compelling. It was shocking. It was not what I expected. I never got around to asking my questions, but here's what I did is 2 weeks later when they invited me back, I went. And I kept going back to their home for dinner. And she said, 2 years later, I went from being an enemy of the church to joining the church. And she said, the pastor never once invited me to church. And the pastor never once treated me like a project, like he had to fix me or change my mind. All I experienced was in a consistent way, the openness of heart, the open home, the open hands. And it made a profound difference in my life. Friends, we get an opportunity to do that. Is there somebody in your life? Maybe it's even in your extended family, somebody in your neighborhood, a classmate, someone you work with, someone right here. You get an opportunity to in some way open your home, open your hands, open your heart to them in a new way. They're not from your cave, but as you endeavor to live in the economy of Jesus, your eyes are opened in a new way. Let's pray together. Jesus, we just pause for a moment to say thank you. Thank you that even though we were strangers, we're the vulnerable travelers, you have shown hospitality to us. You have welcomed us in as family. Let that story, let that feeling transform us. And may your divine love flow through us now so that we might truly be hospitable to others. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.